Will you turn with me to Matthew chapter 16? I want to start a series of messages on the topic of the church. And as we speak on the topic of the church, it's always, I find it a little bit difficult in some ways, because in some ways we're talking about the church, Le Creek Christian Fellowship Church, and then we talk about the church, the Church of Jesus Christ, whether it's locally or around the world, and then we talk about the church, which is you, individually. And so as we look at your God's Word, and as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want us to think of it in the sense of the church. Le Creek Christian Fellowship Church specifically is where it applies for us, but it also goes beyond that, and many of these truths also need to be applied to ourselves personally as individuals. And yet there is a community of faith. And so, yeah, it's a bit difficult to sometimes differentiate totally, but I believe that these truths can help us in our own lives individually, but also as a church, as a Le Creek Christian Fellowship Church. One Sunday morning, a pastor was encouraging his congregation about to consider the potential of the church. And so he said to them, he said, "With God's help, we can see the day when this church will go from crawling to walking." The people responded, "Let the church walk, Pastor, let the church walk." He continued, he said, "And when the church begins to walk, then the church will begin to run. Let the church run, Pastor, let the church run." The pastor said, "And finally, the church can move from running to flying. Oh, the church can fly. But of course, that's going to take lots of money for that to happen." Congregation became very silent, and finally somebody mumbled from the back, "Let the church crawl, Pastor. Let the church crawl." What's the potential of our church? What do you think of when you think of church? Maybe just, and here I go, thinking specifically Le Creek Christian Fellowship, but what about even broader? What do you think of when you think about church, or when you hear the word church? Do you think of buildings? Do you think of people out in the world feeding the hungry, sharing the gospel? Do you think of the church as relevant to today? What do you think of when you think of church? The Apostle Paul and the Scriptures are full of word pictures of the church, but the Apostle Paul has a number of them. When he talks about the church, or we as husbands loving our wives as Christ loved the church, then he says that Christ wants to present the church to himself as a radiant church, without spot, without blemish, without a wrinkle, holy and blameless. A little bit later, he talks about the church, and he talks about God's intent for the church, and that through the church, the wisdom of God should be made known to who? To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That's the spiritual forces of darkness. That it is God's intent that His wisdom, His manifold wisdom, be made known in the spiritual forces of darkness through the church. He calls the church the body of Christ. He says that the church is a church of the living God, is a pillar and a foundation of truth. The church, there's just so many pictures of the church, and we as Le Creek Christian Fellowship are a small part of it. But all of this that it embodies in its totality, it can also be lived out in, God wants it to be lived out in our smaller context that we are here. You know that the very first time that you find the word church in the Bible, in the scriptures, is in today's passage. The very first time that we find that word is where Jesus said that, "I tell you the truth, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." I will build my church. I will build my church. Let's look at that passage of Scripture. Let's start and let's read through it, and then we'll come back to it. It says, "On this rock." So, verse 13 of chapter 16. "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' 'Well, what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.' Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ." Jesus started by saying, "On this rock, on this rock." You know, what's interesting is that this is the very start, the very key to how the building, how the church is going to look. Jesus, there in Caesarea Philippi, you know what happens there? Jesus is about, and you, if you kept reading, you would find it there. Jesus is about to begin to teach them about his death and resurrection. He's about to take them up the mountain to be transfigured before Peter, James, and John. This is just before that. What is so interesting is that before he can really begin to help them to grasp what he is saying about his death and what he wants to teach them, he must teach them one important thing. Guess what that is? Who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? If we cannot answer that question, we cannot answer the question of what the church is. Jesus started by asking his disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" We like that question much better, don't we? We like the question of who do others say, because you know what? I can tell about what you said and about what your friend said or what the community says. That's easier for me to talk about. Why? Because I don't need to agree with them. And if you don't agree with me, then I would say, "Oh, well, that's just what they say." And it's easy for the disciples to say, you know, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But Jesus narrows it down and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" It always comes back to that. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Who do you say that Jesus is? This becomes the very foundation of our faith and of the faith of our church. Simon Peter said, "You are." He didn't say, "I think." "I think you might be the Christ." He said, "You are the Christ." This is not up for discussion. It is not up for a vote. This is a truth. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Jesus said, "On that rock, on this rock, I will build my church," what is he talking about? You know, there's a lot of different interpretations as to what he might be talking about, and I don't really want to talk about that, but I would like to talk just or look at other passages of Scripture that use this word, where it says that Jesus is the capstone or the cornerstone, Jesus is the rock. And just to take that and say, how does that fit into the concept of church? I will give you a number of these scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 2 and 1 Peter 2, you'll need to keep your finger there. We keep coming back to that over and over. In Acts chapter 4, this is the first message that the Apostle Peter is preaching after Pentecost. I shouldn't say that, not the first message. That was in Acts chapter 2. But this is early in the life of the church, and Peter is speaking to the multitudes, and he says this. He says, "The stone you builders rejected has become the capstone." The capstone is the last stone that was put into place. To us, it doesn't make a lot of sense. To them, it did. Because as they would build buildings out of rock, out of stone, then the capstone was the keystone that held the walls together. The capstone. When Jesus on the cross cried out, "It is finished," with that cry, he put the capstone on the plan of salvation. There, it was finished. The building, the plan of salvation was finished. So that's a capstone, and we see that being used quite often. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, Paul is saying, he says, "In him the whole building is joined together." There's the capstone. It is joined together, and it rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. Back up a couple of verses there, starting at verse 19 in Ephesians 2. And there he says this, he says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the prophets and apostles, with Jesus Christ himself as a chief cornerstone." Okay, cornerstone and capstone are two different things when we would use the way they would look at them in the scriptures. The cornerstone, in this sense, is the first stone that is laid. It would be very similar to our foundation. Now, if you don't have a good foundation, what happens? Your house shifts, right? It's interesting that you can see that in the corners where your gyprock, where it starts to crack. The doors no longer work properly. If you had a house and it was just built on a wooden basement, on a wooden floor, just on the dirt, it would be like what Jesus used the illustration. He says, "Those who hear my words and obey them are like the man who built his house on the rock," right? If you disobey, hear his words and disobey them, they're built on the sand. And the difference that is there, Jesus used the picture of the rock, of himself being the cornerstone. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, it says "See, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." These very same words are really, I don't know if Peter thought of them exactly, but he uses the words of Isaiah chapter 28. And I love it because he explains a bit about it. He says, "I lay as stone in Zion, a tested stone." Okay? Interesting. A tested stone. It's been inspected. It has passed because it's been tested. A tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. A sure foundation, not something that will shift. And the one who trusts in him will never, ever be dismayed. If we want to have a building that is going to work, then we need to have a foundation. And over, you will find in the scriptures that the foundation needs to be Jesus Christ. On this rock, I will build my church. And then Those who come to it will never be put to shame. You will never be disappointed. You won't come and find that, oh man, I bought this house and now it's falling apart. You won't find that if you base your faith and your trust, your salvation, on the foundation of Jesus Christ. The church will never lose its power. Why? Because of who Jesus is. We as Le Crete Christian Fellowship can lose power. We can lose our direction if we go away from God's Word, and where God's Word no longer becomes the foundation upon which we as a church will base what we do and who we are. But the Church of Jesus Christ will never lose its power. That's His promise. And He invites us to be a part of that. He says, on this rock I will build my church. On this rock I will build my church. Again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, he says, in Him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. He is the one doing the building. There's an interesting thing. Is Jesus Christ the general contractor? What's the difference between a general contractor and an owner? A general contractor needs to know how to do the building, needs to know who to contact. He oversees the whole thing. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the owner of the church? He says, I will build my church. But He is also the general contractor in the way that He knows how to build the church. He gave the design. He will give us everything we need to build it. All the materials, all the trades, everything is given to us by Jesus Christ so that we can build His church. And with that, we can do it well. It is His church. In 1 Peter 2, we want to back up a bit more to verse 4 and 5. He says, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Our foundation is based on that answer, who is Jesus? But when we have that foundation, the building is not finished yet. We build on this cornerstone, on this foundation. And now we want to build a square building. My brother Ben and I built a shed a lot of years ago. We had a lot of fun doing it in the evenings, and a lot of humor, a lot of competition. When it came to putting up the rafters, everything went well. But when we started putting on the 4x8 sheets of plywood, they no longer fit. Some reason, it was out. And so we checked. It wasn't my fault. Checked again. It wasn't his fault. But you see, he was on one side putting on the rafters, and I was on the other side. And he was on one side of the mark, and I was on the other side of the mark. So we were out an inch and a half. Well, that's no problem. A skill saw, and you can make that plywood fit. And after the shingles go on, nobody ever sees it. Is that what we do with our faith? Do we want our faith, do we want the Bible to adjust to our faith and take a skill saw and cut the corners that are a bit jagged and stick over in our faith that doesn't match with the Scriptures? Jesus said that He is the one that will build His church. He is the master builder. And He designed the church, and He wants us to build right. Now, if He is the designer, the owner, the general contractor, then He can tell me how He wants His church built. Right? That's an expectation that's realistic. And so now when we look at the scriptures, then we see what we want. We can see, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, here we have Paul building on this church, that is the church of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because he starts out by saying, by the grace of God, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. Okay? And we said, well, hold it a minute. Jesus said he is the foundation. Well, if you jump ahead a little bit, in verse 11 he says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? So here is the picture that Paul is giving us. Jesus Christ has laid the foundation for the church, but he says that you and I are expert builders. I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. Le Creek Christian Fellowship Church, you and I as individuals are not the only ones building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We, even though we are a small part, maybe the best way that we could see this is that in this wall, we're just a small part of the wall. We're not the entire building. We're just a small part of the wall. And as the Church of Jesus Christ total, they make up this entire building. We're just a small part of the wall, but that part of the wall needs to be done well, right? Doesn't it? Or it's going to show. We are not responsible for other churches in our community or other churches around the world, how they build. The responsibility we have as Le Creek Christian Fellowship is how are we building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Are we expert builders? Or do we like to come to work late and go home early? And just, this is good enough. He says, each one should be careful how he builds. Each one should be careful how he builds. Verse 12, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw. You know what I find amazing? That God in His sovereignty, His plan for the church, He has given us such incredible freedom. You can actually take the Church of Jesus Christ and the part that you are, that living stone that needs to fit just right here. And you can put in wood, hay, and stubble. Isn't that amazing that God gives us such freedom? What does our church look like? In our little section of the wall, as small as it may be, each one of you as individuals that have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a block in this wall. And right now, because God has called you to live in Le Creek and God is calling you to attend here, you become a part of our wall. Individually, we have a responsibility. As a church, we have a responsibility with how we build. Verse 13, he says, his work will be shown for what it is, because the inspector will come. The day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. How are we building? We're challenged to build with Christ, not just doing our own thing, not saying, you know what, the boss isn't watching. Those of you that are workers and those of you that have workers or lead a crew, how many crew leaders, how many owners, how many foremen have gone at the end of the day and have had to fix something, sloppy workmanship by one of the workers? How many times does Jesus come back to us and He finds that we've been sloppy? He finds that we just had so many other things on our mind that we didn't really notice what we were doing here. Paul says that we need to be careful how we build, because the day of testing, the inspection, will come. We're challenged to build with Christ, to be on the same side of the mark as He is on. Your faith is not something that you decide how you're going to live it out, how you're going to build. No, your faith is something the Master Builder has decided how you should build, how you should live it out. If you're in line with the chief cornerstone, then the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, will not overcome it. He says to Peter, I tell you the truth, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. You know that when he talks about the gate, a gate has two purposes, right? It's to keep something out. You'll see a fence with a gate, and there you have no trespassing. Keep out. No entrance. Or it is to keep something in. For instance, a cattle fence. You want to have it in good shape. The gates are closed. The cattle cannot get out. I think maybe the best picture we can give of the gate we're talking about here is a prison gate. You know why? It's the purpose of a prison gate. To keep the bad people in and the good people out, right? Well, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he says that He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. You know what? The gospel infiltrated the kingdom of darkness. It went through the gate that was locked, because I tell you what, Satan has no desire for you to be saved. He has no desire for you to walk in victory. He has no desire for you to enjoy your life. His desire is to destroy you, to keep you in darkness, to keep you bound. He's not going to open the gate. The gates of Hades cannot overcome the church. The gospel goes into the kingdom of darkness and rescues the souls that are there. In just a chapter later, Colossians chapter 2, I want to read quite a few, just in verses 9 to 15. But he talks here about Christ, that in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And then he says this about us. He says, you have been given fullness in Christ. And who is He? He is the head of every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. He canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us. He took it away. He nailed it to the cross. He, Jesus, disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. This is not a defense for us. It is a defense for the kingdom of darkness. We are on the offensive. We are the ones that will storm the gates. We can tear down, as Paul says in Corinthians, that we have a spiritual weapon. We are in a spiritual warfare that can tear down the strongholds of Satan. You look at the church today, we are in the minority, right? How can it be that we are the smaller team? We are in the minority, and yet we are in the winning side. It is because of who we are. When we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, on this rock, and we are careful how we build as expert builders, using silver, gold, costly stones, those types of things that fire actually refines them rather than destroys them, then we become an unbeatable force. Not just as churches, but even as individuals. We become victors. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What an incredible power we have, don't we? Acts 2:41 says that those that believed the Apostle Peter's message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added that day. What are we doing with the keys that have been given to us? Again, I could talk about the different interpretations of keys and what it means to open or close heaven. But just a very straightforward look at it, you can see this, that we have been given a privilege of rescuing others. You know, sometimes today, with our entertainment age and everything that's being offered to us, our churches have a tendency to become a bit more like a shopping mall than a rescue mission. You know the difference? A shopping trip and a rescue trip are totally different, aren't they? One, you go and you see what they have to offer. You want good deals. You want to feel good. You want to look good. And so, yeah, I'll choose that church. They have a good music team. They have a good youth program. They have this good. They have that. And so you come as a shopping trip. What do they have to offer me? So we go to the mall. We have our food courts. The noise there is generally a fairly content one than the odd time when the credit card doesn't work. Then you hear this cry, right? But the noise in a mall is totally different from the noise of someone being rescued, someone who is bound and calling for help. As a church, and as you look for a church, do you look for a church that is beating on the gates of darkness and seeing how can we rescue those who are in darkness? Shoppers are hard to please, but someone who's been rescued is incredibly grateful. If we look at these keys, what are we doing with our keys? A little bit later, I will be speaking on the part that what are we as a church? How should we be, or who should come? Who should be a part of our church? And I like to say that we should be a hospital. Our church should be full of sin. But we should never condone sin. This is a place where the sinner should be able to come and find healing and find freedom. Friends, we have the key to rescue them from the dominion of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light. But you know what? Those are the people that the hospital is not a place that, at least for me, is that pleasant. The smells, the messes, the blood, and yet that's where we should be as a church. There's a community that's dying, and we have the keys. And so Jesus says, take these keys. As a church, you need to build on the rock. And you need to build well. And you need to be on the offensive. Going out there and being determined to win. Jesus said, I will build my church. Do you want to be a part of that? I want to be a part of that building project. He's going to build it, and I want to be a part of it. I want to be one of His expert builders. Do you want to be an expert builder? That's my prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we know that the church is not some weak organization that's on the verge of dying out. But rather, Lord Jesus, that is an incredible structure built on You. You are the foundation. You are the rock. You are the cornerstone. You are the capstone. You are the beginning. You are the end. We are a part of it. And You've given us such incredible power to choose what part we want to be, how we are going to build. Lord, will You help us to build with excellence? Will You help us to be expert builders? In Jesus' name, amen.